Well, I hope you've enjoyed your first year church history course at the University of Nottingham and have got a great deal out of it. This will, of course, be the last lecture at the University of Nottingham that I will ever deliver, because the University of Nottingham is shutting down its theology department. Why is it shutting down its theology department? Because we always go through the priestly cycle of universities, where they are founded by geniuses who are fascinated by the nature of the world and accruing knowledge for the sake of knowledge. They gain prestige. They attract midwit Adam Rutherford types who are mainly interested in prestige and in status. They put status and getting money above the pursuit of knowledge. They are taken over by such people. They become arms of the church. They become obsessed with money. They no longer are as prestigious, and they shut down. And this is now happening in Western academia for possibly about the third time. So I'm sorry, you're going to have to complete your course at a different university. Good luck to you. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, I have some very good news, and that is that our woke joke academia, our woke joke universities, are clearly going into decline. And I predicted this in a book I wrote some years ago called The Past and the Future Country, The Coming Conservative Demographic Revolution. And I noted that universities always go through this kind of cycle of spring to winter. They're going through it again. And in this video, I'm going to look at exactly what has happened and why. But before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you hit the like button, hit the bell button, make sure you're still subscribed, all that kind of thing? It really, really helps me do that. And could you all subscribe on my Substack, that's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff I come up on YouTube, in-person interviews, blogs, vlogs, films I make, whatever. I mean, if you'd like what I do, you could support me for just the cost of about a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So, it's been announced, and I think this is extremely good news, that approximately 50 universities in the UK are at risk of going bust in the next year. Most of these are silly, ridiculous little places that shouldn't even exist, like York St John University or whatever. But seven of them are large institutes of higher education with more than 3,000 students, and they are predicted to financially collapse in the next 12 months. A further 20 significant universities, large universities, are being monitored. The reason for the and they're doing all kinds of things to stay afloat. The tuition fees have been frozen for a while, so what they're dealing with is basically increasingly bad services for students, cutting jobs. 15,000 of these, you know, like non-jobs, administrative jobs, whatever, have been cut. Universities are going to have to merge. It's looking like the University of Kent and the University of Greenwich are going to have to merge. But I mean, are these really universities or just like basically visa schemes for foreign students? And as I said at the beginning, the University of Nottingham, which is actually a reasonably prestigious kind of a university, is shutting down its language programmes, its theology department and its music department, blaming, interestingly, what it calls a societal shift. Now, I'll come to that later. Now, the fundamental process of universities is what I've called in my book, The Past of the Future Country, The Coming Conservative Demographic Revolution, the priestly cycle of universities. What happens is universities are founded often by genius types, highly intelligent, original thinkers. Those people are obsessive, those people are autistic, and they are obsessed with understanding the nature of the world. And originally, it was a kind of revealed theology, the natural theology. The idea was that you had to understand God's creation, the nature of God's creation. From this develops universities. Universities become prestigious because clever people are interested in analytic thinking, clever people are interested in understanding God's creation, clever people are interested in all this kind of thing. And so clever people are drawn to the universities. The universities therefore become associated with intelligence, and you get people that go to those universities that then go on to do interesting things, because of course intelligence is associated with socioeconomic status. This draws in the midwits. This draws in the people that do not have outlier high intelligence and are not autistic. This draws in the socially skilled, normal people of normal range high intelligence, because intelligence is associated with social conformity. And so because social conformity means that you norm map, you look around the world, you understand the nature of things, you understand what the dominant set of values is, you realise the social benefits of conforming to the dominant set of values, and so you conform to them, and you are motivated by status. That's normal range intelligent people. Those people go into the universities and take them over, because those people are motivated by social conformity, and those people are more socially skilled and so on. And so therefore, who's going to come across better in an interview? A midwit or some autistic weirdo who's highly intelligent? Obviously the midwit. And so the midwit takes over the university and then puts social conformity to the current thing, to the current church, to whatever it is. And also just making money, because this is another thing that is associated with intelligence, the ability and the desire to just make money. It puts those things above the unfettered pursuit of truth. The result is that eventually the ideology is put above the pursuit of truth. Eventually, therefore, the university becomes an ideology factory. It is therefore no longer producing original knowledge and original things and important things. It's just indoctrinating people with the current thing. It therefore starts to lose prestige. It loses prestige as other institutions open up that are actually genuinely interested in science and understanding the nature of the world and therefore producing proper knowledge. Therefore, as happened, by the way, in the 18th and 19th century with the opening of the dissenting academies, because you had to be Church of England to be Oxford or Cambridge or Durham. And then the university, of course, eventually loses prestige. It becomes considered pointless. It's not something for genuinely clever people. It doesn't give you genuinely useful knowledge. And therefore, it becomes a sort of a finishing school for the upper class and so on. And it starts to go into decline. And we saw this. We saw this in the 18th and 19th centuries. It starts to go into decline. And eventually it has to reform or die. And then it invites in the geniuses that were found in the dissenting academies or as gentlemen scholars or whatever. And then the process just starts all over again. And this is what has happened. Now, let's look this time round about exactly what has happened. The original view, the view from about 1870 onwards, when they started to reform the universities and bring the dissenting academies, like Harris Manchester College or whatever, into the universities and make them truly about the discovery of knowledge and whatever again, was essentially, it is good to be educated. Education is a good in itself. Education means we pass on society's knowledge. Education means we have a core of people who understand in depth the nature of things, are taught to think in depth, and who have a great deal of important and useful knowledge, which they can, in positions of administration in society, draw upon to essentially make society better and make society work better. So education is a good in itself. It is a good in itself to have a highly educated caste within society, and therefore it is good that certain professionals who had not previously been to university, who are significant in society, priests, civil servants, doctors, architects, engineers, any number of professionals, it will benefit those highly intelligent people who are trained in their very specific profession to also be educated at a university where they can be with other people that are highly intelligent that are interested in other subjects, where they can cross-pollinate and exchange knowledge, where they can learn new things, where they can be broadly more intelligent and more knowledgeable and more open to things and whatever. It is a good in itself, and it's nothing to do with money. It is a good in itself. It is good to have teachers, to some extent even. It is good to have lawyers that are university educated, that go into that environment where they're not just looking at their narrow subject, where they're meeting with other people that are looking at different subjects, where they can go to any number of lectures they want to, where they can do what they want, access to university library, where they can be highly educated. That is good for society. And therefore, in the same way that society takes the view that it is good for people, all people, to have a basic level of literacy, and that therefore schooling, and this was introduced in about 1880, schooling should be compulsory and free up to a certain age in order to ensure that people have, so everybody has a basic level of literacy and numeracy. From then on, there are some people that are more intelligent among those people that it is useful in certain professions for them to be even more educated and for them to stay at school until they're 18 or whatever. And we will fund this. And then among the best of those people, we find the best of those people, the most intelligent of those people, those that can that are best able to be educated, are best able to learn, are best able to pass on this knowledge and analyse it and think about it and improve on it once they've got it. And we will fund them to be educated to a very high level, and they will go into high-level professions or whatever it happens to be. And it is good for society that this is the case. And society will therefore fund it because it is good for the rest of society. Now, what this, of course, means is that education itself is not in the hands of the students. The students are not paying fees. Education is not a service. They are not people that are paying for a service. Because if people pay for a service, then they can demand things and the customer is always right and whatever. No, these students are in a position of humility, as they should be, because they're students. Their tuition fees are being paid by the government. They are being given a grant to live off by the government, and the government is drawing upon only the best students, only an elite. And what that elite means is first of all, it's important that it is an elite because only people of over a certain average IQ, probably about 120 or something like that, or 115, can even think critically at all. So only such people can benefit from university. And if you put people that have a lower IQ into university, then you change the culture of the university. You make it more stupid, essentially. You make it less about logical thinking. You make it less about analytical thinking. You make it less about questioning the nature of things. Within the normal range. Remember, if you put in people that are just midwit intelligence, you make it more about social conformity. You make it more about finding psychological ways to justify the current thing and then competitively signalling it in order to gain social status. So that's a bad thing. You need to keep out the midwit. You need to keep out the midwit at all costs. But of course, there is a balance with that, which is a view that society should be more educated and people that are in the professions who will be midwits, obviously, can go to university. That balance has to be struck. But you certainly can't allow the IQ of students to be too low, because if you do, then you just make the university stupid and you have people that just can't think logically and are drawn by fallacious illogical arguments of the midwit, and you alter the whole culture of it so it's no longer an intelligent place. So this is what you do. If you bring in tuition fees, you inherently corrupt the system. You inherently corrupt it and you make it that young people who, on average, are highly mentally unstable, are low in agreeableness, are low in conscientiousness and aren't very intelligent compared to older people, you allow them to dominate and they will, of course, then be drawn in by illogical ideas and fervour and that sort of thing. So you must keep it that they are students and they imbibe and think critically about the information. So that was the old view, that university was good for society, and it was good for society that a small number of people, an elite, would go to university. And it was understood that it is not that going to university causes you to earn more money. That's insane. It's intelligence which both causes you to earn more money because you make correct decisions, you make correct predictions, you know, you can sort out a business or whatever. And it is intelligence that makes you high in analytical thinking, that makes you good at, you know, logic and reason, and that means that you can benefit from a very high level of education where you look at very, very complex things. So, yes, people who have been to university earn more money, but that's not a matter, or if it is a matter of causation, it's only a matter of causation to a very limited degree. It's a reflection of the same underlying trait, which is high intelligence, and that high intelligence allows you to, it means it's possible for you to be educated to a high level and understand complex things, and it also means that then you can go into a profession where you will earn lots of money, but you will be better at that profession because you have been educated, and you will have more knowledge to draw upon, and you will have been taught analytical thinking to a greater degree. Is that clear? So that was the nature of university, really, until the 90s. And then we have a shift. Then we have Tony Blair. Tony Blair comes into power. And what does he say? He says that if you have a degree, on average, you earn more money. and therefore we need to have more people having degrees. And therefore we have to increase higher education participation from 1/3 up to 50%, which is insane. Because you earn more money if you have a degree because you're more intelligent, and the fact you have a degree is a reflection of your high intelligence and your ability to be educated to a high level and understand complex things. He further argues that you do a degree significantly in order to make more money. And therefore it follows that because you make more money when you have a degree, you should start paying tuition fees. And inevitably, from the £1,000 they started at, which your mummy and daddy could pay that, so there was still a degree to which you were a child. You were still there to be educated, to be told what to think, to be not told what to think, but told how to think, and informed and so on at a higher level of education. It changes from mummy and daddy cannot afford £10,000 a year, which is what the tuition fees are now, or something close to that, and so therefore what you end up with is effectively a tax on graduates. An extra tax on graduates, and you end up with pushing there to be more and more and more and more graduates, more and more and more people with degrees, more and more useless degrees, more and more useless universities like York St John or Leeds Beckett. What the hell is the point of a town having more than one university? It's ridiculous. But that is what you do. And so you have more and more degrees, and then the nature of the universe, then a number of things happen. First of all, the degree is worth less. The situation should be that you get your degree and you go and get a job immediately. Because the government should fund the number of degrees that are needed in any given area. They should work out how many doctors, new doctors, are needed every year. Right, this is how many medical degrees we will allow to be done in England. Because this is how many doctors we need. How many new RE teachers do we need every year? This is the number of theology degrees we will permit to exist every year, such that a graduate automatically walks into a job. Well, my parents were school teachers. They didn't have to mess around applying for jobs. They just got a job immediately. And that is how it should be. But no. They let as many people as possible do degrees. So what if you got a degree? Who cares? You're not going to automatically get a job. You've got to compete with lots of other people to get a job. It's absurd. Then, of course, it changes the nature of the university. The university, as I said, becomes stupider. The university becomes more and more dominated by the midwit. The university becomes more and more and more dominated by ideology, because it's more and more about money. And it's more and more about and what the students want. And the students are going to be left-wing and so forth. And so that's what the students want. And also, if it becomes more about money and these principles of education is a good in itself are put aside in favour of money and the importance of making money, that is going to attract the midwit type who will put making money about other things. Those people are going to be brought in to a greater extent. And therefore, they will take over the university and it will become more and more and more ideological, even going above the process of the fact that inherently it becomes more ideological if it is prestigious. If it is prestigious, it will inevitably become taken over by Rutherford types. It will become ideological. It will put ideology above truth, and eventually, therefore, it starts to be perceived as bringing about useless degrees, as bringing about students who are not taught to think, who are not taught to think critically, and therefore the value of the degree, A, because there's so many people with a degree, but B, because of what's being done to the degree by the process of bringing too many people that aren't intelligent enough into the university, by the process of bringing people into the university that are about making money, and those people will also be, on average, highly socially conformist. Bringing those people into the university changes its culture, and they're no longer even got the one good thing that was there about having a degree, which is that you're taught to critically think. Even that goes, and therefore on two levels, the value of the degree is undermined. And they bring in tuition fees, as I said, and then moreover, another change in attitude is that the purpose of university was good for society, good for British society. It is good for British society to have an educated caste. That's why we fund degrees. For British people, such that British people can be more educated and be more analytical and logical or whatever. That's the idea. Now, then it changes to being all about money, and then it becomes you have to compete internationally. How can we compete internationally with Harvard and Yale and all this sort of thing? Oh, well, we have to bring in even higher tuition fees for foreigners and then encourage foreigners to come here in order to make more money such that we can get better international research assessment exercise assessments, all this kind of nonsense which shouldn't even exist. So it therefore becomes even more about money and competing financially with international institutions and so forth and the prestige of the institutions internationally rather than about what is good for society. And then we get the situation, which started when I was already at university, that the universities become completely dependent on foreign students that pay higher fees, much higher fees. And that's it. They're dependent, even though the English, the British students are paying these massive fees, it's not enough. They then have to expand and expand and expand. And now you have a situation where entire towns are basically reliant on Chinese students. What would some small, where would some small little town with some little small university be? Like Nottingham or whatever, where would they be without masses of Chinese students? Because those students come and they pay fees and they use local services, shops, taxis, Turkish barbers, whatever it happens to be. And you remove all of the things in the economy that are actually useful, like factories and whatever, and you become, we are selling English higher education as a product. I think there's even a branch of the University of Nottingham in China. As a product to foreigners. And then they control the economy. And then they control the university. And then it's not just that you can't criticise woke dogmas in universities. Not just that's taken over. Oh, God, no. You can't criticise the Chinese government. And this is where it gets to. But as this happens, and you 50% higher education when people aren't clever enough to cope with it, as this happens, eventually, as you see, the degree is worth less. The university has been taken over by midwits, so the quality of the degree goes down and it becomes perceived as more ideological. The degree does not automatically give you a job. People start, the degree costs a lot of money because there's a tax on foreigners. The nature of the university changes to become more stupid because the average IQ of people at university goes down. And so eventually everything shifts and people stop going to university. They realise you don't need to. What's the point? And you're seeing this process begin already. Or if they do go to university, they have some programme where they do a job while they're kind of at university and so they don't have to pay fees or whatever. And they start thinking, well, if I have to pay this graduate tax, I may as well only do a degree in a subject that automatically leads to a job and indeed to a well-paid job. What's the point of me doing a degree in theology just to find myself or just to learn stuff or learn to think critically? I can do that online. And so they stop doing these kinds of degrees. And people from non-decadent countries like China or India are certainly not interested in degrees such as music and theology. And certainly what on earth is the point of foreign languages when we have all these apps these days? You don't even need them. You can just talk to someone via a phone app who doesn't speak English. It's perfectly doable, not in great depth, but it will be one day. So what is the result? The result, inevitably, and once again, is the decline of the universities. As I predicted, 50 universities at risk, 7 big universities at risk, 7 big universities likely to collapse in the next 12 months, 20 being monitored because they're likely to collapse in the next 3 years. Cuts at universities such that the services that these poor students are paying a bloody fortune for in their graduate tax are getting worse and worse and worse. Of course, it's proliferated all these non-jobs. About half the staff at university now are administrators. These being cut. The merger of not very good universities that shouldn't exist in the first place, like Kent and Greenwich, which are basically just visa mills that help that give foreigners a way of coming into the country such that they can work illegally, are merged. And then even at a reasonably good university, Nottingham, the kind of university that quite a few private school kids and Oxbridge rejects and whatever go to, getting rid of modern languages, getting rid of theology, getting rid of music. And they blamed a societal shift. That's the word they used. Yeah, there's a clear societal shift. There's a societal shift from the idea that when a university degree is free and paid for by the state, it is a good in itself. in itself to have a university degree, because only a minority have one, and the degree, whatever the subject, is a marker of your, is a symbol of your intelligence, of your perceptiveness, of your analytical thinking, of your conscientiousness, of your agreeableness, of your pro-social personality. So I'll do a degree in whatever interests me, and then I'll go and get a job that involves analytical thinking using that marker, to a situation where everybody has a bloody degree, and so you must have a degree in something that directly gets you a job and is directly useful. And moreover, you know, you're paying for it, and so if it doesn't automatically give you some kind of job, you may as well not do it. And so therefore, music becomes a particularly decadent degree. How many jobs are there in music? Languages is a particularly decadent thing, particularly when we have all these translations apps. And theology, unless you want to be a vicar or an RE teacher, it's not necessarily going to open that many doors. It's not like when I did my theology degree and the attitude was, oh, you've got a degree. You've got a degree in a traditional subject. Good, that marks your intelligence. Would you like a job? It's changed completely because so many people have degrees. And so the degree in itself, then people are like, well, what have you got a degree in? How the hell is this useful to the job? It's all about money. 40% of universities in the UK are facing financial challenges. Changes in visas has meant a problem because now international students can't bring their families over with them automatically. My God, you shouldn't be having a family if you're still at university, for goodness sake. Particularly on, you know, postgraduate, why have you got a family if you're doing a degree? That's insane. Anyway, a lot of, in the US as well, this is being paralleled. In the last year, 20 universities in the US have closed down. And more people are going on to trade courses and practical courses and that sort of thing. As I predicted in a video quite a while ago, would happen. And all, as far as I can work out, pretty much every university except Oxford and Cambridge, because they have these massive endowments, have significant financial problems. I'm not talking silly little universities. I'm talking prestigious universities. Like the Scottish four ancient universities all have problems. Aberdeen has shut its languages down and is looking into redundancies. Aberystwyth has axed its PGCE. Aston is looking into axing its engineering course. Some other university in Wales, Bangor, has axed its chemistry course. Birkbeck, prestigious university, this one in London, 140 jobs gone. Birmingham is looking into getting rid of biosciences. Bristol, this is another very prestigious university, has had to engage in various layoffs. Cardiff has shut down its classics department. Durham has voluntary layoffs, that sort of thing. Edinburgh has shut down its academic development department, or whatever the hell that is. Glasgow has shut down something or other. UCL, almost every university is screwed. And good. There needs to be a winter, a collapse, and then universities will understand that in order for there to be a spring, they have to have a reformation. They have to go back to their roots. They have to go back to the geniuses who are there to come up with original ideas and question everything. And not be dominated by ideology, and not be about money, but be about the pursuit of truth to what was originally seen as the greater glory of God, to neo-Thomism, to the idea that the purpose of the university is to understand God's creation, and therefore to lie is blasphemous. And therefore they will come up with original and amazing ideas, and therefore, alas, I'm afraid, it will attract the midwit Rutherfords, it will attract the midwits who are interested in social conformity over truth all over again. The cycle will continue, but at least there can be a spring and a summer and an autumn before the collapse happens anew. Thank you very much. Tally ho, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?